Honorable Mabior, welcome to Mirror Breakfast. Good to have you.
Thank you, Sabit. And yes, good morning, Juba.
Yes, and in South Sudan, Radio Mirror is all over South Sudan. Now, I can see you with a bow tie. You still wear that tie?
Yeah, I still wear the tie. It is the cabinet. They say that there are rules in the cabinet, so when we're in the cabinet, we wear the preferred tie.
But of course, anywhere else, you prefer to wear your own tie. How does it feel like to be a minister in the transitional government of national unity? Once you were announced as a minister of water and irrigation, what was your reaction?
Well, it was surprising because all my life I feel like I've been an activist, and we've known the struggle for liberation. So politics is very new to many of us. So it is shocking, and it's a great education and a great lesson so far. So I was surprised mainly.
Yes, arguably you are the youngest minister, if I can say now, in the transitional government of national unity. Sometimes do you feel threatened by those big men in the ministry or in the cabinet whatsoever?
No, I don't feel threatened because I think that we are one, and we need each other. The elders need the youth, and the youth need the elders. So I think for me, I'm there to learn. You know, if there's something that I need, that I see that needs attention very much, then I will point it out. But mainly, I'm there to learn from the elders because they have the experience, and I don't want to. There's a generational gap which is there, but I think that we need to deal with that in a peaceful way and not in a way that we antagonize the elders. Of course, there are some elders who, you know, who are not who are giving us a hard time for us to respect them, but we are trying.
Yes, is it a good thing that a youth like you, of course, is there in the cabinet? Do we need more of this?
Yeah, we need more of this, but not so much the cabinet per se, but in other areas of government mainly. You know, we need young people to participate because there are some positions in government that require energy, and when you have people who are too old who are there, they cannot do the running around, and the youth have the energy to do this. At the same time, I sympathize with the elders also because there's no program of social security which has been done by our government in order when people are retired that they can go and have a way to survive. So it's something that we need to look at as a long-term solution to the problem of the generations in the country.
Yes. Mabior, you're a person who has not been away from controversies. You know, we have a lot of your pictures on social media and a lot of people talk about you. Now, as a minister, I want you to know who is Mabior Garang, really, the new minister of water and irrigation?
Mabior Garang is a real person, you know, and real people have real lives. And so I don't believe in the politics of deception. And so our people have this understanding that once you become a leader, you're supposed to be this something else that I don't understand. And there's a saying that in order for you to be old and wise, you had to have been young and stupid, you know. And so we all do things in our youth, and then we grow and we become wise. And I think those people who hide their life are setting us up for them to deceive us in future, you know. So my life is right there in the open for everybody to see, you know, the good and the bad. I'm not a perfect human being. For those who don't have any negative parts of them, they might be lying to you, you know. So I'm trying like everybody else in life.
Yes, of course. Now, as a leader who is out there, many will, you know, want to look at you as a role model whatsoever. And whatever you do right now will be looked as a public figure, of course. Are you going to change the life you are living before?
Well, I'd like to. The Honorable Mahatma Gandhi said that you have to be the change that you want to see in the world. And so I think I'll let people judge. I don't want to, you know, to say I'm a great person or I'm this and I'm that, you know, but I will lead by example. And if my example is good, people will follow it. If my example is not good, then of course I will fail and I will be out there. So I think I have reached so far where I am, you know, through living my life as a real person. And so why should I start becoming a fake person now, you see? So I'll continue to be the real person that I have been. Of course, if there are there are some things of youthfulness that as you grow older and become more mature, you do them in a more mature way, you see. So,
great.
Like I said, I'm trying like everybody else.
Great. Let's talk now about your ministry. You are the Minister of Water and Irrigation. And as a minister in one of the few countries that has the River Nile flowing through. Now, tell us, what does that mean for you?
It is a challenge, you know, because the waters of the Nile are difficult to control in South Sudan because of how flat the land is. So I think that there's a lot of challenges, but I think we will try and overcome those challenges. It's interesting for you to name it as my ministry, you know, but it's not my ministry. It's a ministry of government of South Sudan, you know.
Absolutely, but you are the minister, of course. You're heading the ministry.
Yeah, in according to the agreement in Chapter 4 of Resource and Economic and Financial Management, Article 4.3, there's the Nile and other water resources. TIGONU shall develop a comprehensive policy for use and management of South Sudan's water bodies. You know, and so there's also a provision for the review of the Urban Water Cooperation. So the Transitional Government of National Unity, of which I'm part of now as a minister sitting here, our agenda is the implementation of the agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan. And so a lot of the ministries have provisions in the agreement of what you're supposed to do. I'm asked a lot of times now, what are you going to come and do in your ministry? And I think this is a question that comes from lack of political awareness, you know, because middle school or primary school social sciences tell us that a government is the judiciary, the legislature, and the executive. And so the Transitional Government of National Unity is incomplete. We have formed the cabinet, and the Transitional National Legislative Assembly has not been expanded according to the provisions of the ARSIS, you know. So it's supposed to be in Article 11, Chapter 1, which is TIGONU. There's supposed to be an expansion and reconstitution of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly. Right now, the G10, the other political parties, and the IO, who are partners with the IG in government, their MPs have not been sworn in, you know. And so this leaves a situation where the budget for our new government cannot be done, because everything will become stuck in the Council of Ministers, and it cannot go to the parliament because the parliament has not been reconstituted. So there will be a problem of no money in terms of for us to do our work in our ministry. So this is a challenge right now of the peace agreement that we are facing. We are still discussing provisions of the agreement, which are very clear in the agreement, and we are still negotiating them. We are not discussing projects to do with development. So this is a challenge.
Great. Just tell us, I mean, why is are these members of parliament not sworn in? Why is it taking long for them to be actually in parliament?
I believe that it is some of the issues to do with some of our partners in the government are rejecting international best practices of how rules of the house and things like that are done in parliament. Issues of voting, whether it should be a show of hands, and you know, this kind
control
of
secret voting.
Secret ballot, and these are minor things which are delaying. I think it is politicization of some of these things, because who will get the speakership, you know? So but I think these are some of the few things which are delaying. Also issues of when a seat falls vacant, will it be done through a by-election, you know? There are some small issues which should not really bog us down, which are bogging us down in formation of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly. And until that is done, government is effectively paralyzed, you know, because anything that we do in the Council of Ministers will get stuck there and cannot go to the Assembly.
So let's get this very clear. Of course, since you were appointed as the Minister of Water and Irrigation, you took your office but there's nothing that your ministry is doing up to now.
This is not very accurate because I don't want to rubbish the previous my colleagues who came before me. I have found a fully established ministry. Mm-hmm. Honorable Joseph Duer was there, not Duer Tut, sorry. Mm-hmm. Honorable Joseph Duer was there, and Honorable Paul Mayom was there, and Honorable Nunu Kumba was there, and I have found everything that they have done is good, and all the plans are there. They try to set the policies. They set up the Urban Water Corporation. They have signed deals with development partners where the JICA was doing some water projects in Juba. So there's a lot of things. There's some projects in Wau. There's projects in Terkeka through the Egyptians who are also our partners. So there are a lot of projects which are being done, which I will have the honor of launching some of them, but they had been done by my colleagues who came before me. So there are programs, though they are a drop in the ocean in terms of the needs of people of South Sudan. But I don't blame the development partners, because the development partners are really doing an outstanding job. But I think in the past, there has been, from the previous governments that have come, there has been a neglect of the water ministry. I don't think that there is the strategic importance of the ministry has been recognized by the government. And so it is underfunded and given low budget ceilings. And last year, even, there was zero money for programs. It was only for salaries. Mm-hmm. So I think one of my objectives will be to try and draw attention to how important this ministry is in terms of food security. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the important ministries, and so I think since the government is not working, I can only tell you about what I would want to do.
Absolutely, let's go to that. What will be your first priorities as soon as you know, if all is well now and you have your budget, what will you be doing?
Well, there are immediate needs, you know, that are there, and then of course we can look at long term solutions, but like I said, is to sensitize the government about the importance of this sector, because like I said, my colleagues who came before me have done all the planning for what needs to be done, and so we have things like the Awil Rice scheme, we have schemes in Rank and other areas of South Sudan. And so we want to identify some of these areas of priority. As we know now, there's allegedly hunger in South Sudan, and so this would be a good way of addressing that issue. So if we look at areas of priority in some of the plans, you know, people of South Sudan, many are not aware that there is something called Vision 2040. Mm-hmm. In South Sudan, where the government has made a comprehensive plan of what to do in the next 25 years. You know, and so all we need to do as we come, the governments which come, is to look at this vision and develop projects and programs according to this vision. So we should not look at the government in the context of Mabiyore Garang, you know, and Mabiyore Garang, what will he come and do in his ministry, you know, as if I'm going to come from home with my own funding. You see, so I think that my priority, as I said, is to draw attention, you know, because, like, for example, in areas of Greater Upper Nile, there's a lot of issues with cattle rustling and insecurity due to this, and this insecurity stems from lack of water in the dry season for the cattle, and so. These are some of the things that the government should recognize how important this is. Like, for example, if we want to repatriate our refugees, you know, our refugees in the conflict of 2013, there's maybe 5 million refugees, and then from the war of 83, the refugees were not fully repatriated, and even from the war of Anyanyawan after 1972 agreement, we still have a lot of South Sudanese refugees outside the country. And we've never had a plan to repatriate our refugees. the Ministry of Water is very important, would be a very important partner in participating in returning our refugees, in developing irrigation schemes, so that together with the Ministry of Agriculture maybe and the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, mm-hmm. we can develop a program to bring back our people and immediately engage them in development, yes. through agriculture, you know, and stop the farmers from Kampala bringing their produce here, which is not bad, but we know our farmers also can be able to do this.
Much
but
better.
If more than half of the population is outside the country, you know, so these are some of the ideas that I have, but all these ideas are dependent on the implementation of the agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan.
Great. Now let's talk about running water. Really, a city like Juba right now in most should be able to have running water in most of the houses within town. But at the moment, the issue of the running water is not really something that is there. What plans do you have in order for people not to always be relying on these water tanks that is bringing water to the houses, sometimes not as clean water as really requested, wanted? What plans do you have when it comes to, you know, connecting the city with water, with running water?
Well, we have a short-term plan that we are trying to initiate now, where we have been approached by some of the development partners. And in the outskirts of Juba, there's acute water shortages. Mm-hmm. So we want to do some private public partnerships and provide water in that way through pumps and boreholes and mm-hmm. having big tanks to supply certain neighborhoods. But in the long run, if as a government we don't invest big money into the infrastructure, it will be very difficult. And like I said, we have not recognized as a government, we have not recognized the importance of this sector. The only thing that we have right now, the infrastructure that was there before that we found in place, was output of 7,000 cubic meters per day, and this can only serve 150,000. You know, mm-hmm. The JICA, the Japanese government, has provided $48 million US dollars for the upgrade of this infrastructure, and throughout the conflict and all the insecurity, they have been able to. By September, next year they will finish the upgrade, and the upgrade will expand the output to 10,800 cubic meters per day. This will increase the people who get water from this to 330,000, and with the population of Juba being 800,000. Mm-hmm. This will leave about 460 people still with no water, you know. And if we look at the budget of last year, the government, our own government, did not put any money into this. And you know, it's not a simple thing. Like mm-hmm. the engineers at the ministry have educated me about how expensive it is, you know, to set up a system that would provide for 800,000 people. But mm-hmm. we need to make an initial investment as a government, because in the long run the project pays for itself in the long run, and then you don't have to put any major investment of capital again later. It's a one-time thing mm-hmm. that we do for the people. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of challenges, but we are trying our best, and I'll try and sensitize our government so that they can be able to understand the importance of this sector.
Great. Now, just before we take two phone calls here in the program, I would like to ask you, as this current government, of course, the Transitional Government of National Unity, it comprises of all the parties, the government, the in opposition, we have the former detainees, and of course, some political, other political parties. Now, how is the coordination going so far, you know, with people coming from different parties selling their own agendas, of course, probably towards 2018, where the elections will take place. Now, what do you see? I mean, like, does it make it even more difficult sometimes when it comes to, you know, making your programs, but yet you have supposed to coordinate with other ministries?
In the agreement, we are Chapter 2 of the agreement, permanent ceasefire and transitional security arrangements. We are referred to in the agreement as the warring parties, you know, and so this means that we were not on good terms.
Absolutely.
And we have come together to rescue our country from disintegration. So in any situation like this, there will always be mistrust in the beginning, you know, and so I think that as we build confidence among ourselves and we put South Sudan above any other interest, I think the confidence will be built and we will begin to work together. So we cannot expect us to immediately go and love each other if we are referred to in the agreement as the warring parties.
All right, Mavior, let me take one or two calls in the program. Remember, if you just join us, you're listening to the program Mirror Breakfast. So my guest this morning is Honorable Mavior Garang, who is the Minister of Water and Irrigation. If you have any question, please don't hesitate to talk to him in the program. Good morning.
Morning, Robert William.
Your name, please?
Chief Salfa Mawir from your side, Jiba.
Yes, Chief Salfa, go ahead.
Yeah, my first question today. Last week, it was told to the media that he came to the politics by mistake, and now he's the main top of water in the national government of unity.
That, excuse me, can you say your first point, please?
Last week, Mabior said to the media that he came in the politics by mistake.
Okay.
He's the one who telling like that to the people and through the media. One. And another question, as you said, is very young in the government, and his interest for him before that he break away to fight with the government and now he become the minister. I think is the big achievement for him to fight the government of South Sudan and become a minister in the national government of unity.
Right.
So I think there is no argument for him. I think he achieved what he won. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Salfa, for talking to us this morning in the program. Chief Salfa said you came to that you said to the media that you came to politics by mistake, and now while you're fighting for a position, now that you have achieved your position, just briefly on that because we're running out of time.
Well, that I came to politics by mistake, you know, it is that. I really did not intend to be a politician, you know, but the circumstances of the struggle forced me to go into this, you know. So this is what I meant by mistake. In terms of the other question, I don't think it is his opinion, and you know, and he's entitled to that opinion, you know. And so nobody knows what is in the hearts of others, but I think I'll leave it at that. I don't think that it...
Great. Yeah. So, because we're running out of time, Abir, I would like to ask you this question. As the youth minister, of course, a minister who is, let's say, representing youth there, of course, in the transitional government of national unity, of course, working for South Sudan, not representing youth as such, do you think you will deliver in this ministry within these 3 years of the transitional government?
This is all our responsibility as a government. My ministry is an organic part of the whole government, and so our what we want to do is for all of us, you know. But what I want to say is that our agenda as a government of national unity, what unites us, what you were asking before, if people are antagonistic, what will not make us antagonistic is disagreement, because people try and misinform the people of South Sudan as if this agreement was brought by Kawajat in their how they say that it is the international community that has imposed this agreement on us. But this agreement was negotiated by us, the parties, you know, and then it was harmonized by mediators. And so if we take this as our agenda in the government, then I think that we will not have any issues. I think that I appeal to people of South Sudan to read this agreement, because it is this agreement that will save the country. You know, there is a economic and financial management authority that is to be established, that is supposed to take money of South Sudan. There's money for youth, there's money for women.
Okay, Mavior, so let's leave it like that. Agreement. Yes, let's leave it like that. Thank you very much for coming to Mirai Studios. We really do appreciate your time.
Thank you, Sabu.
Thank you. And Mavior Garang is the Minister of Water and Irrigation.